your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, hockey fans. You're listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, as we take a look at the Western sort of conference here in the NHL. Today's show, by the way, is brought to you by Locker Room. You can download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Some of the hosts on this very show, Locked On NHL, have been doing some Locker Room stuff, so make sure you get on that. Locker Room, it is changing the way we talk sports, and we're going to talk sports right now. And we're going to start with I'm a little bit of a bringing my own team into this nonsense, but we're going to start with fighting. How about that?
I love it.
I am, of course, joined by Tom Gazzola, who I did not introduce, and I also did not introduce myself. My name is Sarah Avampato. I'm host of Locked On Kings. If you're a regular listener here, you didn't need that information, but if you're new, thanks for coming in, and we're going to talk about fighting. So on Monday night, the Sharks and the Kings played each other, which is, you know, the way it works. And as expected, there was a fight between the Kings' large, tall, punching man, Curtis McDermott, and the Sharks' slightly less tall, punching man, Curtis Gabriel, which, you know, the fight was, it is what it is. That is, you know, it happens. But what caught the attention of the league, and largely because this is not the first time it has happened, is that Curtis Gabriel and McDermott both exchanged some words before the game happened in warmups. Gabriel shoved McDermott with his stick, and inevitably in the game, there was a fight between the two of them. We had some Curtis on Curtis gloves that were dropped in that game. Well, on Tuesday, the league realized that maybe they should do something about this, because this, again, is not the first time that Curtis Gabriel has, you know, had a little chat, had a little bit of a moment with a player from another team who he then eventually fought with. And so the league said, hey, let's cut this out. They fined him a little over $3,000, the maximum amount allowable under the collective bargaining agreement. And the Sharks head coach was also fined $5,000 for this incident. And the Sharks basically have to be on their best behavior for the next year, or else they get fined as well. And not to turn this into a fighting in hockey good or bad show, I think that's a whole other can of worms, but this nonsense of you crossed my line, now I'm going to shove you, now we're going to fight each other. Like, why is this still a thing? Why is this still happening? Why?
Why? Because you get a couple of bulls in the ring, and one knows how to piss off the other, and they're going to do it because they're trying to get their team sparked. And it's kind of, Sarah, I guess it's the game within the game. But in this instance with Gabriel and McDermott, like, McDermott, he didn't really care. Like you said, he kind of brushed it off, whatever. If they're going to fight, fine. They're going to fight between the whistles during the game. And let it be, right? And let it help dictate the rest of the game. And maybe it helps settle down the game. Maybe guys were getting chippy. Who knows? This is two rivals playing each other. But if they did it in the game, it would probably have more of an impact. And then you have Curtis Gabriel, who's starting to make a name for himself around the National Hockey League. And it's hard to make the National Hockey League. It's even harder to stay in the National Hockey League. And he is definitely doing everything in his power to make sure people know who he is and see what he can do. And that's by fighting, intimidating, getting under the skin of the opponent. And John Scott came out a couple of weeks ago, I believe on his own podcast, I think it was, and said, hey, Curtis Gabriel, like, relax. You're going to get your cracks at these guys. Do it a little bit more effectively. Don't do it in the warm-up. Or pick your spots a little bit better. And then here he is, you know, a week and a half, week, whatever it is later, and he's going after McDermott. He's crossing the red line, which is, it's a no-no in the National Hockey League. It's a no-no in pretty much every hockey league. During warm-up, you don't cross the red line. And long gone are the days of the bench-clearing brawls during warm-up. You know, the 70s had them, maybe the early 80s as well. But you don't do it. But as soon as a guy does cross the line, you know that someone from the opposition is seeing that. And it just, it makes the players see red. So that's exactly what Curtis Gabriel wanted in terms of a reaction. McDermott came over, told him stop crossing the line, and he tried to give him a cross check to very little effect. And then they, you know, we've seen him get up close and personal with other players in warm up. And then the league just said, that's enough. We're going to fine you. Yes, it's only $3,000. You know, for most of us, that's a good, healthy amount of money. But for NHL players, it generally is, you know, a drop in the bucket, right? And then we're going to fine Bob Bugner so that he starts to say, hey, Curtis Gabriel, please don't do that and warm up anymore. And then we're going to fine the team conditionally $25,000 just to let you know you're being watched. And this is a warning. So you can fight. Just do it between the whistles when the puck drops and don't do this stuff in warm up anymore. And that's what it is. And it looked foolish. And, you know, even the face-to-face, who was it with last week that he was face-to-face with? Was it from the Blues?
I think it was Cal Clifford. Yeah.
Cal Clifford. Yeah. Yeah. And like, it just looks dumb. There's the intimidation factor isn't there. You just come off looking silly. And Curtis Gabriel's a tough guy and he wants to intimidate. You can say stuff during the warm-up. But when it comes to getting rowdy like that, this league has clamped down on this stuff so much that it basically is telling these guys, yeah, you can do it. Just do it between the whistles. And that's what this fine is. And I like fighting, Sarah. This is coming from someone who enjoys big hits, big fights. And I think they serve a purpose in this league and will always serve a purpose, even though the next generation of hockey players won't be fighting as much. This is just not the right way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where I landed too of, yeah, you know, in the heat of the moment, someone lays a bad hit or whatever, you know, I don't, if someone said to me, there's no fighting in hockey tomorrow, I'd be like, okay, cool, whatever. But you know, I see why it has its place. I get it, yeah. But it's this stuff of the like premeditated, hey, you're the tough guy. I'm the tough guy. Like, I thought we left that behind in, you know, the 80s and the 90s. And here we are, though, still, it still creeps up. And, you know, I'd love for that nonsense, that sort of silly, hey, we're going to fight, aren't we, kind of stuff to not be part of the game. And Gabriel, to his credit, at least is saying all of the right things. And he is someone who on Locked On NHL, I featured an interview with him. He has been on several shows here on across the Locked On Network. He's a very nice, well-informed, very, very, you know, passionate kid. He's, you know, one of the biggest advocates for equality in hockey, but, you know, does this kind of boneheaded stuff on the ice that gets the attention of the league. But he, of course, is saying all the good things of, you know, I'm going to move on from this and, you know, I'm going to just focus on the play between the whistles and all that. And another interesting note that, like, I would love the history on that we're never going to get is that he and McDermott played together in juniors. And when Curtis Gabriel was asked about, you know, about that whole past history, Gabriel said, we're not friends anymore. We have some history that I don't appreciate with him and we'll leave it at that. So This had some bad blood before this even happened. And so it almost feels appropriate that this was the one that the league took notice to and was like, hey, cut that out.
Yeah. And having brought that to light and mentioning that too, and the fact that he is a smart guy and that just reaffirms and tells me even more so that what he's doing is completely deliberate and pre-planned. Because if he's a smart, bright guy and he wants to get people's attention that he's the next tough guy in the NHL, this is one way to do it. And If you're intelligent enough to figure out how to poke the bear the right way and get the attention and draw the ire until people know your name, he's doing it to a T.
He has that down perfectly. We're going to talk more about poking a bear, but it's a different bear. And that bear is the draft lottery. And we'll get to that in just a second. But first, let's talk about Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, insiders, writers, bloggers, podcasters, just like us, in real time, all about your favorite team or sport. It's the perfect place to start or join conversations about the NHL or any other sport. It's a great way to react to the latest trade rumors, to get some thoughts on a controversial goal, to maybe have someone help you understand what goalie interference is, because quite honestly, nobody knows. But you can do all that stuff on Locker Room, where you'll find fans just like you. You can have watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, you can react to big news or rumors that happen in the league. You can even find Locked On hosts all across the NBA, MLB, and NHL, all on Locker Room. I'm not on the app yet because right now it's only for iOS, but you can find lots of other Locked On NHL hosts, including some of the other folks who host other editions of this show, and you can force find your favorite team and check out and see if they have a Locker Room of their own. So go and download the free Locker Room app right now. It's currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NHL group for the latest league updates. I know you're going to find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues. I can't wait to join you all there to be talking about hockey, and I'll be sure to let you know once I'm up and running. And of course, like I said, listen to further editions of this show and find out when our other Locked On NHL hosts are going to be popping on to Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app today. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. We've also got Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar on the market. We've been telling you about it for a while now. We love it. It's the best tasting, amazing, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all of their bars. And now, because it's March, because we love brackets, because we love making things compete, it is time to find out which Built Bar is the best. That's right, it is Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is a fun one for me. It's cookies and cream versus coconut almond. Hands down, cookies and cream, my winner of this matchup. Cookies and cream is my favorite Built Bar flavor, so this one is a no-brainer for me. It tastes like a candy bar. It's also good for you. And coconut almond, like, come on. Who doesn't vote for cookies and cream? You can go and make your thoughts heard by going to builtbar.com or find bar_built on Twitter to get some good Built Bar news on your Twitter feed. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And make sure to check back to see who's won today's matchup and who's going to become the best tasting protein bar. Also, you can get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Everyone, every year, finds some reason to complain about what has happened in the draft lottery. This year, it was the fact that the Rangers jumped all the way up to the number one draft pick after they had just gotten one and after they were sort of a fringe team in the first place. We, of course, have the many years of people having thoughts and feelings about Edmonton jumping up in the draft lottery.
Hey,
changed the draft lottery several times to like make people happy. And now we're changing it again. This was formally approved by the league, by the board of governors. Here's what's going to happen. The number of lottery spots are going down from 3 to 2. So that's going to change the amount of spots that people can drop. The worst finishing club can drop no more than I believe 2 spots, I think, with this new one. There also is going to be a limit on the number of move up teams. So it's only going to be 10 teams that can move up in the draft. We're going to change the amount of teams who could get the number one draft pick, essentially. And then no team will be able to, as they say, advance in the draft order by reason of winning a lottery draw more than 2 times in any 5-year period. But what do you think about all these changes? Like, is this like we're fixing something that's not broken? Is this like we're fixing something because enough people whined because things didn't go their way?
Yep. Exactly. I rolled my eyes when I found out that they were doing this. I'm like, oh, here we go. You know what, Sarah? You know what's going to happen? Hey, great. They changed it. They appeased a few GMs and owners. Fine. Whatever. Because guess what? The next time that these soon to be implemented set of rules, rub a GM of persuasion or owner of persuasion the wrong way, and it goes out of favor for that particular team. We're going to go through all of this again, and they're going to change it again. They're going to tweak it because this GM didn't like how this was done, and that owner complained about that, and then a few others get on board. That's all that's going to happen. That's what I've learned about all of this. It's a couple of GMs who have a lot of sway and persuasion, don't like something. They complain. They have the ear of the Board of Governors, and they get the votes. That's how this happens. So next time something comes up that people don't like with the draft lottery, they're going to do this all over again. Maybe they expand it back to the old rules or something similar to the old rules, or they narrow it down even more. It's going to happen again. You're going to see knee-jerk reactions. That's what this kind of group of executives tends to do in this league, having covered it for 14 years now. That's all this is. And I'll roll my eyes when that happens next time, just like I did today when I saw the official release in my inbox from the National Hockey League.
It feels like a very NHL thing to overcomplicate this. Like last year, of course, last year was extra complicated because of, you know, everything changed because of the pandemic. And like, I get it that last year was just, but like last year should have just been written off as a weird year. Like the Rangers won. Okay, cool. But everything was strange. I felt like when I was explaining the draft lottery to a friend who is like a casual hockey fan, but doesn't go, you know, quite in depth as a, you know, person who listens to a daily podcast about the NHL, I felt like I needed a flow chart, or that I needed like a diagram or something. And like, it shouldn't be that hard. And, you know, she follows other sports and is familiar with the way that, you know, drafts work in other sports. And she's like, what is wrong with your sport? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. We just made it so much harder than it needs to be. All because, like you said, a couple of influential GMs or owners or whoever don't like the results for whatever reason, and kind of start to raise some feelings about it. And then we end up with this cycle of making it even weirder every year.
That's exactly it. And I, you know, when they laid out those rules going back to the last draft, and you're like, oh my goodness, like what is going on? I needed to go through that email from last year a few times to be like, okay, so there's like a step one, a second step. If this combination of things happens in step one, we do it in step two. And then if something else happens, there's another step to this. I'm like, this is ridiculous. And I thought in the back of my mind, as I was reading that, I'm like, at least it's only going to be this 1 year and we'll go back to normal. No,
nope,
no, that somebody's feelings gets hurt. Someone of influence doesn't like it. And then they talk to some other person of influence who has their feelings hurt and didn't like it either. And then all of a sudden they get to persuading. And then the new GMs who don't have any persuasion are just like, yeah, I guess, I don't know. Sure, we'll do it. I'll go talk to my owner and we'll figure it out, I guess. I don't know. And then bada bing, bada boom, 6-7 months later, we're talking about a new format all over again, leaving all of us going, really? Come on.
Fine. Yeah, just
here we go.
Just wild. Just wild. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, whatever.
And like, yeah, I felt like last year was, yeah, last year was just way overcomplicated. And every time I thought I had a handle on how it worked, I reread it and realized that I was confused about something. So like, you know, and it's like, if people like us who cover this league, you know, on a daily basis, you've been doing this for a long time. Like, if we're confused about it, like, I mean, this is a topic for a whole other show, but about like the inaccessibility in many ways of the NHL to people who, you know, might want to make the jump from I watch my team every so often to I'm like really invested in knowing how all this works. And it's stuff like that, that, you know, just why? Why are we making this so much harder? It's a lottery. Who was your worst team? They're done.
Yep. It's like if you wanted to get into baseball and find out why the Yankees and Dodgers and Red Sox are always the best teams, and the Cubs, you slap them with the luxury textbook and go, hey, read this. Now you'll know.
Yep. Congratulations.
Like, oh boy. I'm going to go pick up cricket now. No thanks, MLB.
Right. Yeah. Just way too complicated. And you know what? It's going to be hilarious when, you know, Detroit or the Sabres, because they are by far the worst team actually this season so far. It's going to be wild when they get the number three pick. Like it's just the way that the universe works. Like, you can't control for luck or fate or randomness. The whole point of the draft lottery is that it's random, and then people are going to get mad about it because it wasn't random enough.
Yeah. I just sigh and move on and be like, all right, let me know when I need to start paying attention to this again. And thankfully it's one day a year.
Yep.
And then I move on and just forget about it. But you know what? I was never one to study in school, and I'm never one to study the draft lottery rules, because as we've just witnessed, they change quite often now.
Yeah. And you know, it's every fan's dream, every team's dream to not even have to care about the draft lottery, because you made it that far in the playoffs. I'd love to not have to know what's happening in the draft lottery and just to be able to ignore it. Must be nice. Hey, Tampa, like, how's that going for you?
Pretty good.
You know,
pretty good.
It's working out. We're going to finish things off today by talking about you, fans, coming up next on Locked On NHL. First, though, let's talk about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and of course us here at the NHL, we're all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, so anything you can imagine, they've got real-time updated odds and props for it. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Go to betonline.ag, use promo code LOCKEDON, and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get the upper hand in your fantasy league with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Our expert Scott Cullen gives you the tips, insights, and analysis for season-long Dynasty and DFS leagues. Follow the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. Well, we will close today with another sort of question from me of why is this happening? Even though I know the answer as to why it's happening, which is fans in the stands. As more states are loosening restrictions, this of course is just in the United States. Canada is still very reasonable and not necessarily allowing fans to go hang out in arenas. But here in the US, we are loosening a lot of restrictions and more places are allowing fans in to their arenas. We do have several who have been doing it since day one in our world of the Pacific and the Central. Arizona, Dallas, and the Panthers, they all, since day one, have had fans in the building. And that now more of them are offering tickets for fans. Teams like Carolina are being able to increase the amount of fans they're allowed to let into their building because their state has let up in their regulations. But still, some of the largest markets in our world, Chicago, the California teams, Minnesota, which loves its hockey. People would line up instantaneously to go see a Minnesota Wild game, I think. But some of the biggest markets are still not allowing fans, and so far no talk at all about allowing people in at all. I'm kind of torn on this, on letting fans in. I know financially that is obviously what the league wants, is to be getting butts in seats and to be getting money from those tickets. But you know, it's one of those things where, like, it's great because the pandemic is hopefully winding down. People are getting vaccinated. It might actually be safe to get on an airplane again sometime soon. But it still feels, now we're so used to not seeing hockey with fans in it, that it seems a little weird sometimes to be like, oh, that's a person out there. That's not a cardboard cutout.
Yeah. And having gone to all the games pretty much in the bubble here in Edmonton, and then all the games this year, Oilers home games, it's weird being in the building. I'll reiterate that again. It is bizarre. They pump in the crowd noise. There's nobody there. You hear everything. So that element's cool. And I'm with you on the fact that this is a kind of bittersweet thing, because I like the the positive outlook of having people back in the building and a little bit of energy from the crowd, because that is sorely lacking and it is dearly missed. 100%. Now, we haven't beaten this thing yet. We're getting a lot closer. It's being vaccinated. That is a great positive sign. I love that. The other element of it is the safety thing. And and that's something that can't be overlooked. And, you know, you mentioned some cities have had fans in the stands from the outset this season. You look at Florida, both teams were able to basically do it from the start of the year. You look at Miami Beach this past week and all the spring break garbage that's going on. Like, it's just getting stupid in that regard. Now, I know they do a very good job of separating, distancing, and controlling as much of it as they can at NHL games, but there's still a risk involved with it. And that's something that's, you know, something to be very leery of and aware, and it's not done and over with yet. So I know here in Edmonton and Alberta, so that would involve the Flames as well as the Oilers, the province on Monday said it would not be moving to phase three, which may have opened the door to fans in the building at the Saddle Dome and at Rogers Place here in Edmonton. Of course, a very select few, maybe like 1,500. So that got put down, and they're not doing it just yet. They're not moving to phase three. The rest of Canada, like Quebec, we saw with the Canadiens, a couple of players on the COVID protected list and protocol list are now having their games postponed. There's no Oiler games this week against Montreal. They're supposed to play them three times. On my Monday pregame show on TSN radio, we got the announcement halfway through my show. And it was a weird scenario. And so it hasn't been fully solved yet, this issue. So I like seeing fans at the games, but at the same time, there is a risk. And to say we're past it would be foolish. I mean, hopefully by the playoffs, we have, you know, way closer to herd immunity. I know in the U.S., I've been following this thing crazy since the vaccination rollout has been going, because it's been really slow in Canada. We just hit 4 million vaccinations out of 37 million people. But there's hope. So we'll see. Sarah, you and I could be talking about this in a month and a half. Yep. And we're talking about at least 50% capacity in Canada potentially, or something like that. Right. But yeah, it's a double-edged sword. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, teams obviously would love to be able to have as many people as they can in for playoffs. You know, a lot of these teams that are already allowing fans, you know, the Lightning, the Panthers, and it's still weird to say that the Panthers are pretty much locked up for a playoff spot, but right. They kind of are. You know, Vegas, Carolina, like, they have been allowing fans this whole, essentially the whole time. Yeah. Like, New York is now starting to allow fans, and we're going to see more and more of it. And it's going to be interesting to see what teams still hold out, or which teams are forced to hold out because of their state or their city with their regulations. I feel like Chicago and the Californias are probably going to be some of the last teams to invite fans in. I know Illinois still they are loosening restrictions, but it is still, not enough to necessarily make it worth it to open up the United Center and let fans in just because of the how few you're allowed to have. But we're going to see more of them, and we're going to have to continue kind of grappling with what does it mean to have fans in a hockey game and in a pandemic. And, you know, it is what it is. And it's going to be nice to see faces in the stands, especially in the playoffs. And I know the players will appreciate that too. And so that's maybe kind of one of the, aside from safety, the important thing to consider as well, is just creating that environment that, you know, leads to fun, exciting, successful games.
And lump Canada in with, oh, the cities and states that'll probably be the last to open up their doors to the fans. It's just here, very conservative and cautious approach, which at this point in our human lives and timeline is appreciated, to be honest with you. As eager as we are to get going and opening back up and being normal, the reality is we're not there yet.
Yeah, but fingers crossed. Maybe the Stanley Cup will be raised in front of some people this year, which will be a nice feeling, a nice thing to watch, no matter who it is, unless it's Vegas, and then I'll be kind of annoyed. But, you know, that's my problem. It's not anyone else's problem.
You would say that. You Locked On Kings would say that. Yep. You got a bone to pick with those
Golden
Knights. I do.
Just a little bit.
Yes, of course. Naturally. I love the rivalry.
Yeah. That's bring it on. And Seattle, let's talk. See it. Like, we'll see what happens there.
I love it.
Well, thanks for entertaining my weird topics for discussion for today, and yet again bringing to light how weird the NHL is about all sorts of things, you know, all the time. For people who want to hear more from you, who want to find your work online, keep up with the Oilers and what's going on up in Canada, where can they find you and all your stuff?
Yeah, Sarah, you know, you can follow me at Tom Gazzola on Twitter, but I would say usually you can catch me on TSN 1260 hosting the Oilers pre and post game show. But those shows have been postponed because there will be no Oilers Canadians games this week. All three of them pushed. Oilers back in action on Saturday against the Maple Leafs. And you can catch me from time to time. I was supposed to be on NHL Network today, Wednesday, but I don't think I will be. Call it a hunch.
Right, yeah, you might need a game to talk about.
Yeah, unless they just want to find out what the weather's like in Edmonton on what was supposed to be a games day, I feel like I'm going to be pushed to another day.
Probably. That's probably a safe bet. Well, you know, next time. We'll catch you on there. For me, you can find me on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. I'm also, of course, the host of Locked On Kings. You can commiserate with me there over all the stupid games that they lose to frustrate me. This show's on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods. Keep up with not only this show, but all of the cool stuff happening across the network. Make sure you're following, subscribed, all that great stuff. Tell your friends all about the show. Make sure that they are listening. If they're a hockey fan or if they're not a hockey fan, they can listen, and then you can try to explain the draft lottery to them. Good luck. Until next time, this has been Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.